Welcome everyone to a technical difficulties free episode of Husker Eat. Sorry for that last week. I know my daughter's dying to tell this story. We will we'll hold off on that for a little while though.
Oh, come on.
Say good evening to everybody, Miley.
Good evening.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just absolutely ducky. Well, tell you what, since we've got a couple weekends to go through, let's get right into it. What we were going to talk about last week was our Penn State weekend, which if you throw Kansas in there, the Tuesday before, that was four games against opponents in the top 25 or 30. It was very important not to lose all those games, and we went 2-2. We beat Kansas 4-0, and we lost to Penn State 2-1 and 6-5, sandwiched around a 10-2 Penn State, pretty much royal ass kicking. Yeah, we won the series 16-10 and went 1-2. Was 2-2 good? It was okay. It moved us up the RPI a little bit.
It's sort of like Nebraska baseball, because Nebraska baseball won that game 16-1, yes. And then they lost the next day. It's like, geez.
Right, yeah. Aaron Rostowski of Corn Nation was not in a good mood after that one. we have a Slack chat room, and it's really the place where we all just kind of, you know, we'll let our emotions run wild every now and again. Usually during a game is where you can really just, you know, see people wearing their heart on their sleeve and their profanity on the page. we could probably sell some of those clips just for public entertainment. But anyway, game one of Penn State, they were number 26 RPI. And the story of that team is basically their superstar freshman pitcher, Bridget Nemeth. And we did okay against her. Let's just go through the games. In game one, we lost that one 2-1. Right there, we've got to give Kaylin Kenny all the credit in the world, right?
Yeah.
She had probably what's still the best start of the year for Nebraska, considering the opponent. I know Caitlin Olenski got a shutout of Creighton, but this is several levels above Creighton. Penn State, we basically managed to just wrangle out a run in the first inning. I don't know if Billy singled or walked. I think she walked and just scrambled away around the bases, scratched out a run, and that 1-0 lead held up until the sixth inning when Maddie Gordon hit a 2-run homer and Nemeth shut us down the rest of the way, and we lost that one 2-1. Game two, it was the pitcher who wasn't Bridget Nemeth, and we jumped all over her. We got up 3-0. They crawled back to make it 3-2, and we go to the bottom of the fifth up 3-2 and scrapped a 7-run inning on him. And it just ended in the most amazing way. Here is one on. We need one run to end the game. One on. Billy Andrews comes up, and it was very, very windy that entire weekend. I guess just like it was Rutgers weekend here, which we'll talk about next. And Billy just absolutely bombed one out to left. I mean, it hit the bat, and there was no doubt that thing was going to be, you know, far enough over the fence to stick an elephant or something under it. It just went out on a rope. I'm pretty sure it went up over the burn and into the parking lot. And instead of exploding right away, it was such a powerful shot that you just kind of heard the crowd go like, "Oh, fuck," you know, before, yeah, there's that holy shit, you know, as you just saw how hard it was hit. So then that was one swing walk off in that game by the mercy run rule 10-2. And then in game three, we get Kenny versus Nemeth again. And Kenny pitched pretty well that day, giving up 5 runs. It was just because the ball kept flying out of the park. We go to we are tied up going to the bottom of the sixth, and Caitlin Neal hits a 2-run homer. Boom, we're up 4-2. So we're up 4-2 and feeling pretty good about ourselves. And then here comes Bridget Nemeth up to the plate. She's only batted 12 times that year so far. How many hits? in 12 at-bats, Miley?
Was it one?
Not yet.
Zero? No,
she was 0 for 12 on the season and getting
she was.
And gets a rare start to actually hit in the pitcher's position instead of having a designated player hit for her. And, yeah, she hits a two-run homer. We're tied up. We go to the bottom of the seventh. We don't score. So here it is, 4-4 going to extra innings. And then who was it? They had, Maddie Gordon, who I believe hit the home run the day before. It was Caitlin Morrison, their leadoff hitter, bangs out a two-run homer in the top of the eighth. And just because it's Nebraska, I'm like, well, I'm not giving up just yet. I think they got one out, two out. Then Peyton Cody, who was probably the hitter of the game that they won 10-2. She went for 3 for 3, knocked in a few runs. She hits a home run to stay hot, and all of a sudden it's 6-5. And then we got the last out. We made the last out, and that was the game. So we were 2-2 on that weekend, and we were so flipping close to going 4-0. And I'm guessing that if we'd gone 4-0 against those, that would have jumped us up into about the low 30s. We would have taken a big leap in the RPI. As it was, we moved up a little. It is what it is. It's so funny because I have my notes here from last week, and I had the Rutgers stuff to look out for, and I was like, watch out for this Morgan Smith of Rutgers. Here's the thing I didn't know till the series started. I just saw she was hitting 444 before, you know, that week, the Penn, or after the Penn State weekend. And she came in hitting, I think she left hitting about 455. And the stat that just blew me away, though, was, you know, usually you get into your conference, a lot of the times it gets a little tougher. She's hitting 600 against Big Ten pitching. Not on base percentage 600, which would be fantastic, but just batting average 600. And she turned out that was a good person to look out for. Then I put down Kylie Sand, their leadoff hitter. Seemed like she was on base all weekend long. And then they had another hitter, Kate Wingert. She makes a little history that weekend. Yep. And then Maddie Boyd pitched pretty well for him. So let's talk a little Rutgers. What did you think of Rutgers? I'll tell you mine, but first tell me yours. How did you expect us to do? How did you hope us that we would do against Rutgers?
I thought we made Rutgers look better than they actually were.
No, I mean, what did you think going in, though, before we played?
Oh, going in?
Yeah. But pin that thought too, because I do want to hear that. But yeah, what did you think of Rutgers going into the weekend?
I don't know.
Like, how do you think you would have said?
I thought we would have swept the weekend.
Yeah.
But clearly that didn't happen.
Right. Well, that was the thing, is I thought it would really help us to get a sweep, but I at least wanted to win the series.
I think their plane also getting delayed and not getting until 12 a.m. really did not help their case there either.
Did not. Let's just jump right ahead to the games. And, yeah, let's start. Why don't you tell them their first game was Friday, 2 p.m.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell everybody about their arrival?
Yeah, their plane got delayed because I think it was storming out there or something. So their plane didn't get in till midnight. And so, yeah, that's not a lot of sleep because they're probably up pretty early for breakfast, pregame stuff. So, yeah, they did not get a lot of sleep before that game.
Yeah, and even if you let them rest a little, you still got to have them rolling to the park, you know, a few hours ahead.
Yep.
And if anybody's ever played, you know, people might say, hey, it's an excuse. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong. You do have to do what you just have to try and push through it.
But it can be looked at as an excuse, but it also takes a huge toll on your body as well because it's not as rested. You're ahead an hour since you're in the Eastern time zone. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go in there as an athlete because it just affects your body in different ways.
Right. I mean, that plane rolls in late, and here's the thing. It might have landed a little after midnight. You're still not getting that hotel for an hour, and if you've ever played that delayed waiting game, there's just no rest. You know, you might try sleeping in a chair in the airport, but that's you're going to be awake the whole time.
I mean,
it's just stressful if you know if it, it, it just you kind of have the shakes and you're not going to get to sleep right away.
When my team's bus would pull up at the hotel, we would still have to stay on the bus for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes while coaches got room keys for everyone. So, I mean, they're probably not getting to bed till 1:30, maybe 2 at that point. So.
And they're rolling.
The latest 2. But, I mean, that's still just – that's really late.
Hey, real quick, want to say hi to a few people who are popping into our comments. Noah Hogan is here with us tonight. Minnie Hunt, hello. Minnie was late. Oh my God. She said go. She said GBR at the end of it though, so we'll forgive the tardiness. And Highlander Gun, a regular watcher, is also here. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you. So anyway, they have to. Yeah, they like it or not, you got to go out and play your game. And they lost 9-3. And just the weirdest thing about it is one thing, Nebraska is usually a pretty disciplined team. It's softball. Everybody's going to make a mistake here and there. And just all the windy conditions they've been playing in, I'm surprised that, you know, Nebraska versus whoever they're playing aren't dropping more balls out there. But then came along the third inning. I'm not doing this to pick on the Huskers, but I just more to point out this is the kind of thing that can happen when you're not fully focused, which it's you know, tough to do. So top of the third, here comes Sidney Gray rounding third. I think we have a single up the middle. They're on it real quick. They hit the relay, and she's like not even quite rounding third, and all of a sudden she's taking off for home, and I'm like, you know, what in the serious blue hell? They throw her out by 10 to 15 feet. I mean, you know, she's maybe 2/3 of the way down the line. And the girl's just waiting there at the plate for her. And then
that wasn't even the last time that happened that weekend too, or last weekend.
Right.
Well, there were a couple times.
But then to stay with that play, you know, I want to see the replay. Like, did she blow through a sign? Did she not? Mm-hmm. Well, they point out Rhonda Revelle, the head coach, she coaches third base for the team. She never made a motion. You know, it's like even if you're yelling and it's windy that day, so it's probably a little harder to hear. But there was none of this, none of let's go. And you've got to be doing that even if it's a perfectly calm day. So she didn't make anything. Maybe she was yelling something and Sydney just blew through the verbal stop sign. But I'm just going to put that on both of them. Yeah. It's like, coach, you got to be signaling. Sid, you got to be thinking ahead. You had to know where that ball's going. And then, so, you know, either that or maybe she's center and she's obeying orders. And the only reason I do that is not to make fun of the two, like I said. But these are two players whose heads are usually, you know, one player and one, you know, very distinguished head coach whose heads are always in the game. Well, we go to the bottom of the inning, and Kylie Sand is on first. I think it was Morgan Smith Waltz or second. And Ava Breadwell, the catcher, isn't really paying attention. She's starting to walk kind of out toward the mound down the third base line a little. And you see Kaylee Sand start down, and she's watching her really carefully. She's not way off, but she's a good chunk off. And then Ava just kind of lobs it up in the air back to the pitcher. And as soon as that ball left her hand, she must have seen her lob a few throws back, because she was off and running, and the pitcher didn't even get a throw over there. And there was, it reminded me, this is a Major League Baseball thing. There's this catcher named Mackie Sasser who got the yips about throwing the ball back to the mound at one point. Like, he couldn't gun it back to the pitcher. He started, he'd start lobbing it to him, and runners were stealing the base because he could only lob it back out there. Then he starts, he could still throw runners out at second and third. He was fine, you know, just making regular throws, but he just got something in his head about throwing it back to the pitcher. And that's what that reminded me of, except after that, you know, nope, she's gunning him back. Well, Rhonda pulls her after that inning. So I was wondering if that was, I wouldn't think she'd do it just for that, but I'm just wondering, had she done a few little things to get into the coach's doghouse? More on that in a second. Then somebody hits a liner out to Caitlin Neal and right, and she just drops it. And I get it, Wendy, but it was just, you know, right to her. And the announcer's trying to go, oh, that's pretty tough. And I'm like, that looked like it was pretty much heading straight. Yeah. And then on top of that, just before the inning ended, just to have one more, I can't remember who it was, but takes off to steal second. Breadwell guns it down there, and the second, and Billy Andrews and Caitlin Kaneda are just staring at each other. Yeah. as the ball just goes sail.
That one was my favorite. I was just like, these two are just looking at each other like, who's going to catch it?
And they're just, the ball just goes zipping by them in center. There are runners on first and third. So you think they're trying to get there, if nothing else, to pick off the throw in case the runner on third takes off for home. Instead, everybody gets what they want. It's like runner stays safe at second, runner scores from third. That gave them the lead 4-3. And even though it was just a one-run game, you just at that point sensed something is off today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we move on to Saturday. And
extremely windy.
Extremely cold. Again. Rainy. Yeah. And the bats show up, and they show it, I think the article I titled the recap, a good night's rest does wonders, or a good night's rest indeed. And yeah, they just jumped all over him. Caitlin Neal got hot again. I think she was 2-for-3 with 4 RBIs. And then Rhonda has Ava back in the lineup batting ninth. She's at the bottom of the order. Now, I might be overthinking this, but she did pull her in the middle of the game the day before because she has said she likes that nine spot to be kind of a second leadoff spot so that Billy, after her initial at-bat, has people getting on base behind her so she can try and knock some runs in. So that might have been all it was. But
plus the lineup changed a little bit because Brooke Andrews wasn't playing as well. So
right.
Caitlin Canedo was moved up to that second spot.
She moved up to that spot. Well, anyway, if she was in the doghouse, Ava Breadwell got herself out. She went 3-for-4 with a home run, a triple, mm-hmm. and a double, and even had those goofy announcers, man, maybe if she gets one more at-bat, she can get the easy one and get a single. But, yeah, so that day they pounded him. Then
is that mustache day?
What's that? No, that's the game coming up. We're not going to spend too much time on that. We'll talk about it. So game three just looks like, all right, now they're just exhausted. Going into the top of the sixth, it's 6-1. I start to write my article a little bit, and then I'm like, wait a minute, just in case, let's two sentences, and then let's just see what happens.
Are you talking about Sunday?
Yeah.
I wrote Sunday.
Yeah. You want, yeah. Oh, let's go. Take it. Take it away.
Oh, well, you said you started to write. I was like, no, I started.
No, you did. I did. I was talking about Saturday when I got worried they might come back. No.
Oh, okay.
Go. Sunday's you. Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. Sunday. I started to write my – it was 6-1. Started to write my article, the weather was way better today, but the Huskers' day wasn't, that kind of stuff. And then here they come back, and it's 6-6. And then they go into extra innings. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Went to extra innings. Yep. And
yeah. And then they won 7-6. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And that game was so important. We'll talk about that here in a sec, but looked like the big hitters that day, Peyton Cody stayed hot. She went 2-for-4 with a couple ribbies, and Sam Bland, that, one fun thing about freshmen is sometimes they've just got that 18, 19 year old enthusiasm that kind of starts rubbing off on the older girls sometime. And I think I've wanted to say this for a few weeks now. That's been Sammy Bland all year long. And the first time I remember it was when she hit her first home run, and it was the second or third tournament, and just her going around the bases was just a demonstration of pure joy. I don't think I have it up anymore, but there was a picture of her rounding third and just screaming her head off, and on the broadcast you could see Coach Ravel about halfway down the line just grinning ear to ear, and gives her the fist bump as she goes by, and she's just doing this and a huge smile on her face, and she just seems to bring that. I mean, the whole team brings energy, but she seems to have just that next level. I'm a kid and I'm having fun and I don't care who knows it type of thing. So it's always fun, and now she's settled into the cleanup spot. That's her spot now, and she's had 2 walk-off hits. And anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we had a little scare with Sam Bland this weekend. She was going back into the wall to make a catch and slammed right into the wall, and our nice announcers called it a non-contact injury.
Yeah, she says, boy, okay. I hate – no, she said, yeah, boy, I hate those non-contact injuries.
Yeah, I was like
– dude, she ran into the wall.
Yeah.
It's
like that's a contact injury, but she got evaluated for concussion on the field, but she continued to play. But it was a little scary because you don't want to see her come out of the game.
Oh, she crumpled, And yeah. she's out there playing. I think she was still in left, or did they move? They didn't move her to center. I know they switched up center field Sunday, but whoever it was, you know, boom. and real quick, speaking of injuries, Brooke Andrews came out of the game Friday, didn't play Saturday. At that point, I would just, you know, before that game, I'm just wanting to like bang my head into the floor. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We stand a chance of losing Brooke. Thankfully, Brooke was back out there DPing on Sunday. And so it appears that was, thank God, a minor injury. We need more of those and less of these, you know, season ending back crushers.
Yeah, Talia Tokheim, who just came back from a knee injury from last season. She is now out for the season again with a torn labrum. So that was a very big loss, because when she did play this season, she was playing very good.
That bat was heating up again, like it did for a short time last season. And then I think that was also about the same time where they announced that Caitlin Olinsky, who'd just been questionable for a few weeks, was out for the year with a pectoral injury. I'm just wondering if that's a torn one, which requires some surgery, and they were hoping that it wasn't that. I don't know. If we get any more details on that, we'll let you know. But, you know, we know what we need to know, and that's, she's done for the year. So she's likely going to finish the year with the best ERA on the team. She had just stepped into her first like Friday afternoon start. Like usually your best pitcher is going to start that Friday. Now that to say that, I have to also add that Sarah Harness started game one against Rutgers, but I think they just wanted to give Kenny an extra day, knowing they might use her both Saturday and Sunday, since she's pitched in all three games the last two weekends. Just maybe give her a little bit of a break. Cause right now it's like, it seems like what's left of the staff this year are those two, Harness, Kenny, and then Emerson Cope is back healthy. Now she'd missed a set of games. Yeah,
she was injured.
That appears to be the staff now.
Yeah. She played Friday.
Right.
She played Friday a little bit after.
And she DP'd one game too.
Yeah, she DP'd on Friday. I'm pretty
okay.
sure. Yep.
All right. Let's move on. So here's what happened. We split to, well, we're going to get to here we go. After the dance. you just got to love these special effects, folks. This is Star Wars level stuff. You know, this is industrial light and magic coming at you. So anyway, 2-2 against top 30 teams. And then they go 2-1 against Rutgers. And the net of all of that was they moved up to, let's see, where did I put that down? Huskers are now number 43 in the RPI. They moved up from 49 to, I believe, 45 or 6 after the Penn State weekend. So they got some credit for beating two quad one opponents there. And then they moved up actually two more spots after taking the series from Rutgers. And Rutgers is just inside of the quad two. Rutgers actually moved up a little too, but even though they lost 2 out of 3 to us. So, yeah, once we beat teams, we then want them to do well so they make our RPI look good at the end of the year. That brings our record to 25-16 overall and 8-3 in the conference, which has them in fourth place. Right now they're in a three-way tie in the loss column. There's three teams, Michigan, Penn State, and Nebraska, that all have three losses. And each of those teams have played more games. I think Michigan snuck in a two-game conference, you know, midweek conference pair of games somewhere. So they're 10-3, or maybe just one. So they're 10-3. Penn State's 9-3, and then because we've got that rainout against Illinois, I'm just afraid that rainout's going to hang over our head as one less win at the end of the year when it comes time to seed that conference tournament. So you'll hear me bitch about that a lot. It's just upsetting. It just looms larger each week. Like right now, last week, I think we'd have been in a three-way tie for second if we'd had that one win. And now we're half a game out of third because we don't have that win. And then here are our remaining series. We play Michigan this weekend. Iowa, we play Iowa Monday, the week after Michigan. That's going to be, what a stretch. They'll have three games against Michigan, then I think play Iowa doubleheader on Tuesday, and then play Northwestern, which is the series. Northwestern's sitting in first right now with one loss, and they'll play them the weekend after Michigan. And then we'll finish with Minnesota, who was sitting there in about second place. And then a team we don't play this year in the regular season, Indiana, swept them, and Indiana has quietly moved up to number 41, a few spots ahead of us in the RPI. So now I'm like, whoa, I'd really like to have Indiana on the schedule and have a chance to win a couple games there. So here right now we're sitting number 43 in the RPI and number 47 in the strength of schedule. And 47 may not sound great. You have to remember there's 307 teams in Division One, so 47's not a bad place to be in strength of schedule. And then this weekend we go to Michigan, and a very important person, just, you know, as high up as you can get at coordination.
Oh my power God.
And intellect. Yeah, it's me. I'm going up to Ann Arbor next weekend for the Friday and Saturday games. I'll be, you know, wheeling back on Sunday. I don't want to be heading home at 4 or 5 in the afternoon on Sunday and driving until midnight or whatever. But no, going there. I'm very excited.
We get coordination to fly you out.
What's that?
Should get coordination to fly you out.
Yep. John, fly us out. Many, are you still watching? Yeah. I'm stuck here for a little bit longer. Get a hold of John and tell him Andy needs a flight. And then I just want to hear all about how he yelled. Let's see. Anyway, okay, we've got some comments. Minnie goes, hey, what a turnaround. Yep, absolutely right. Highlander Gun wants to know, how many games are left? So 3 against Michigan, 2 against Iowa 5, 3 more against Northwestern 8, and then finish up with Minnesota. So 11 more games before the conference tournament, which is in Iowa City. Anyway, so yeah, we got 11 games left. That's that. You can make a lot of moves in the RPI in 11 games. We're getting at 43. I think we're getting kind of close to the edge of getting a bid. And the key thing is we want to get a bid fairly. You can never be fully assured, but I'd like to be in a spot where we don't have to put ourselves in the position of having to win the conference tournament or be done with the season. And you know, if we keep crawling up the ladder a little bit, you know, these next 3 weekends, we should be able to get into that position. If anybody sweeps us, or if we lose a game to losing either of those games to Iowa would be kind of devastating, just given that they're the RPI worst team in the Big Ten, and you know they'll come in just because it's Iowa wanting to beat the crap out of us, and we will get their best effort of the season. Just like I don't think our ladies are going to take them too lightly either.
No,
we've got that Iowa Nebraska thing going now. Anyway, let's talk about Michigan. Michigan is a good, tough team that I would love to go up there and sweep them. I will be happy if we go up there and win 2 out of 3. I will not be shocked if it goes the other way. I'm not saying that we have no chance. I think these will be really good games, but it's going to come down to, and then I'll tell you about some of these players. It's going to be, can our bats hit their pitching? Now, we already showed we could hit Bridget Nemeth, and I think that should leave us in a very confident spot against anybody we'll face the rest of the year. Bridget Nemeth, you know, not to keep bringing her up, but she's flat out one of the best pitchers in the country. I didn't check what her record was after this last weekend, but after they played us, she was 17-1, and we bumped her ERA up to 1.10. She's something else. So last week, Michigan moved. They are, let's see, where are they? Did I write down their RPI? Right now, they're 29-14, and they are second in the Big Ten. And I believe they're like 40th or so. I think they're right, like 40 or 42, somewhere in there. Probably ought to be higher. And then they moved, they swept Iowa last weekend. Let's hear it again for Iowa. But they move. I think but here's the thing. They beat a lousy Iowa team, swept them, and they moved up 5 spots. So that gives you an idea. We would have moved up pretty good if we just had, you know, found a way to push through and win that first game against Rutgers. Yeah. Their big hitters are Ellie Seiler. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She's batting .365 and has an on-base percentage of .485. She gets on base and she scores. There's Maddie Erickson, probably their best hitter. She's hitting .364 with 8 home runs, 32 RBIs, and a OPS, which is on-base percentage plus slugging. Like I said, if you're getting, you know, over 900, you know, you're something else. Hers is 1.002. I've got a name I like here, and she's the base stealer. To me, this is a base stealing name. Batting 295, 378 on base, so she's getting on base every way she can. Has 11 steals. Indiana Langford. I have to wonder if her parents were like, Raiders of the Lost Ark fans or something. Named their daughter Indiana for Indiana Jones. I don't know, but Indiana Langford, that sounds like somebody who likes to go run the bases. And then they have a power hitter, again, only hits bats 286, on base 383. If you go down Michigan's lineup, it's like, hey, some of their batting averages may not be the best, but they get on base. And I know I sound like I'm watching Moneyball too much. Hey, what do I care? He gets on base. Michigan gets on base. And she's got 12 homers and 29 RBIs. So they've got a little power out there. Their team batting average is 280. For comparison, we're hitting 300 as a team. And then they've got two pitchers. Hope I wrote this down right. Lauren Durkowski and Aaron Hone. Lauren Durkowski right now is 12-7 with a 2.39 ERA and has struck out 142 batters in 132 innings. And then Aaron Hone is 13-4, 3.31 ERA, 78 strikeouts in 78 innings. They're going to come after you. Their team ERA is 2.85. These two will pitch just about all of their innings. And for comparison, their team ERA is 2.85, ours is 4.19. And ours has probably come down a good number in the last 3 weekends or so. You've really seen the pitching turn it around. When I was at the Saturday game against Penn State, and we were talking to Coach Ravel afterwards, and somebody asked, hey, what's the turnaround been? And she kind of gets a little gleam in her eye and goes like, can you say competitive much? she goes, no, we've had Coach Sipple and, you know, all of her pitching background. She said she's really been working with them more, and they're just so competitive. They never gave up. Kayla knew it was going to come around. She said, you know, her confidence never left her. And now you're seeing she's grabbed that number one spot for Nebraska. She's pitching the lion's share of their innings. And Sarah Harness went out, I believe, and she got knocked around a little, like we said, not all her fault, but the weekend before against Penn State, she went out in that game, I think, and threw three or four scoreless innings. So she's quietly turning it around too. We actually are hitting their peak, and it couldn't come at a better time where we need these wins to start moving up the RPI. So that's our look ahead at things. I'm looking forward to going to Ann Arbor. Miley and I, we stopped in Ann Arbor once. When we were on our way, I think, to Detroit or something like that, and we pulled off.
We
grabbed lunch.
Yeah,
and it was really a beautiful.
Nice.
People aren't lying. It is a beautiful college town, mm-hmm. and I'm definitely going to take a little stroll around the campus because I hear that they're also not lying when they say that's one of the prettier campuses in the country. I'm excited. I'm excited to go back there and get to see some games. I always like to, like, we've talked about how Liv Farrell, Miley played hockey with her. I coached her. She's, if you follow the program at all, you know how great a pitcher she was for him. And now she's an assistant coach. And I just love, you know, ducking my head down, saying hi to her when I see her, because she's just always happy to see me and just great, great girl. Like my daughter here, turning into just a fantastic woman. And it's just fun to run into them. And yeah, I'm looking forward to waving hi. I want to run into her dad again, though. I want to see Bruce again.
Yeah, she has a great family, too.
Oh, yeah. Her dad, the first time I'd seen him in years was when I went up to East Lansing for the Big Ten tournament 2 years ago and surprised them both. So, I just always look forward to doing stuff like that. So that's our softball report. But as you know, we don't just talk about softball. So let's check the comments here. Let me get another banner going. Let's see what we got here. I had no idea Coronation had their own private jet, says Minnie. Well, if they got a damn private jet and I haven't been on it yet, then I think, you know, what were the expressions that I'm going to put hands on somebody here? You know, we're going to have a chat. Highlander throws in, I think John is the pilot. We should probably have John on here before the year end. If nothing else, just so he can complain about how he's too busy to be doing stuff like this. And then what do you got in Todd? And Todd is the stewardess. Why not? Todd Wolverton. Yeah, let's not put a dress on Todd just yet. We'll just make him the steward, give him one of those cute little Southwest Airline outfits.
Oh, God.
But anyway, yeah, it would be nice to fly, but I do enjoy that drive, getting to like go around a bit of Lake Michigan after I get out of Chicago. That's a nice little stretch. So let's see what else was going on in sports.
Jazz Shelly got drafted.
Jazz 29. Shelly got drafted
29th to the Phoenix Mercury.
Nice. So she gets nice weather in the winter.
What's about the WNBA is, though, is that most rookies and girls drafted will probably be cut because there's so many girls there's so many like older women that won't retire.
it's a pro league. I mean, here's the thing.
There's not a lot of teams, they're not being a lot of teams doesn't help with that.
There's way more capable players than there are teams yet. And the only way to solve that is to start bumping up the attendance. And speaking of which, and I know that people were probably disappointed that they didn't get to watch her enough, you know, during the women's tournament and every single commercial. And then there was this, and we knew you'd come around, right? We knew you'd come around. And it even looks like it's tinted a little red there. But the official story is that, back and drop this thing off. The official story is that N is for Nike. That is a Nike Letterman's jacket. Well, I get that Adidas is our outfitter and not Nike, but Nike, you know, what the hell's going on in your office where it's like, hey, you know what a great N to use on that would be? You know, you think it'd be more cursive with Nike. They probably was like, hey, that block N, that's like the old letter jackets. Fellas, that's Nebraska's in. Yeah. You know it. You know it. And the funniest thing was on the socials, the Iowa fans knew it. They're like, why is she wearing a Nebraska jacket? What the hell? And it was just one thing after the Nebraska people were going, all right, go Big Red. We knew you loved us and all that. And I'm sorry, there's no way she didn't know, but this is what happens. You know, I'm not going to call her a sellout or anything. Everybody would do it. But Nike said, put the jacket on. And yeah. I'm just wondering if she just took a look at that, you know, and Caitlin's such a little angel. You know, of course she went, are you bleeping, blah, blah, damn, kidding me? They're just like, hey, you're getting 2 million a year. Shut up. And shut up, wear the jacket.
She's getting 393,000 a year now.
Yeah. And then, you know, she came walking on the Saturday Night Live set. And oh, I'd love to say we love you, Caitlin, but we don't. But we'll still. I'll give Caitlin this. She does act like a normal human being, not the petulant brat you see on the court. She's a normal human being who carries herself well off the court, and definitely more than her trash bag Iowa fan friends. All right, so moving right along, let's see what else happened this week.
Can I tell the bad connection story yet?
You know what? I'll probably pop in here and there, but go ahead, tell the bad connection story.
All right.
We had a bad connection last week. All right, moving on.
No.
Go ahead.
My amazing father here, since I'm 24 years old, Andy, he has never had Wi-Fi. So you know how far? No. He would use his hotspot to I don't know, watch movies and crap on his phone. I don't know. Do whatever you need to do with the internet. And so you know how hard that could be for like a high schooler to study and stuff? Pretty hard. But so last week, what?
Well, I was going to say, not that hard for maybe occasionally when you guys were still, you know, here.
Oh, it was pretty hard not to have.
There'd be three total people and maybe two people on a laptop. That wasn't the problem. That thing just basically served as Wi-Fi for years, and it's just part of.
You should have had Wi-Fi when we were in high school to help us study for the hard private school that we were sent to.
No. Poor baby. Poor baby in a nice school. Anyway, keep telling your Wi-Fi story.
Okay, and so last week, you know, he had the bad connection, couldn't get it to work. Well, he finds out that he used all of his hotspot data, so he was on low power mode. And so he finally caved and got Wi-Fi 24 years after I was born.
Like you needed Wi-Fi as a baby?
No, but there's been lots of instances since Hold I was on. Born where we have needed Wi-Fi.
But anyway, from Highlander Gun fan, we find out who are fans of Animal House, where you're darn right. John Belushi knew how to dance. He knew how to do everything, including that there's still nothing better than his little skate through the lunchroom in Animal House, where he's just putting everything on the plate, ends up with like a giant donut hole, and here's like the jerk sitting at the table, crams it in his mouth and goes, before he does, he goes, "See if you can guess what I am now." And he just crams this like powdered donut hole into his face and just goes like, spits it all over him and just goes, "I'm a zit." Get it?
Are you trying to divert my story?
Well, it was over. I got Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that's first world problems, but Andy finally got Wi-Fi. So that's a big accomplishment for him, I think.
Yeehaw. Yeah, it was funny because I'm like, this thing has worked fine every time I've done it, every time I've gone on John's show or Greg's show. And all of a sudden, it's like, what the hell? And then, yeah, I found
him. He tried to blame it on me and Jaden. He said, "Your connection's bad."
Yeah, it was. Both of them were awful.
Yeah, it was you. I have Wi-Fi.
Well, now we know that. And I'm a big enough person to admit that and not make fun of me like some ungrateful little rotten daughters.
Asshole.
Oh, geez. Oh, got her. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're getting about done here, I think.
Did we talk about the fun that Nebraska volleyball had with one of their players?
No, we're not gonna talk about that. She's getting hammered plenty. We don't need to pile on. Let's see. Anything else? I believe that covers it for the evening. We got some people in watching. I was wondering if we'd lose everybody after last week, but got Wi-Fi. It's not going to happen again. I guess we have some spring football going. If anybody got to see me, and if Minnie is still with us, she was on that show. At first I was slated to run the Five Heart podcast because Greg wasn't going to be able to make it. Well, Greg made it, so Greg gets up running it. Minnie's on there, and then we had Aaron on to talk baseball. And Dylan Raiola's name came up. And I start extolling the virtues of Dylan and what he'll bring to the team. And Greg just starts making these faces. And I hear like, "Jesus Christ, another one." I'm like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Apparently Minnie is a huge DR fan. She shared the story." Greg made her tell it. She lives in Arizona. And that's when Dylan was playing football down there. God, I got softball in the brain. She wanted to see him play at field level so bad, she tried to get a job as one of the chain gang members pulling the first down markers on the sideline. And he goes like, "Andy, is that just the most desperate thing you've ever heard of?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I kind of sort of thought it was awesome." You know, I can just picture Betty, "Honey, I'm heading out tonight. Doing what?" "Well, working the chain gang at Dylan Rayola." And probably there'd be many. Jesus Christ. So I just thought that, well, yeah, then that just turned into lots of profanity from Greg, and that I'm ruining his show by bringing more of this Dylan Rayola talk. But from what it sounds like, he's doing just fine in spring ball. Danny Kalen's pitching it well. And I caught Heinrich Harburg, it looked like, was interviewing with Will Compton. I don't think it was an episode of Buses. I think they were just doing like a Zoom interview or something. And Heinrich Harburg, which, just to give you an idea, the character of this kid is just going, "I love that Dylan Rayola is coming here." He goes, "This is a kid who had, with all the options in front of him and everything that was available to him, chose us over Georgia." And he goes, "I get it. He's a Husker legacy, but that doesn't matter." It's like he's turning down, you know, the number one team in the country, basically, to come here. And the point Harburg was trying to make was, he goes, "This should be telling people this is the kind of trajectory Nebraska's on, to where players of that caliber," where he was on a few boards as the number one overall rated recruit, "has decided, I'll take Nebraska over a team that, you know, has won two of the last three national championships, the best team in the Big Ten, well, second best. Sorry, before Michigan fans completely lose their shit. Second best team, but top. Let's go top two every year. Top two every year, and then and not only that, USC was after it very hard. The head coach of USC has done what? Coached three, I think three of the last five Heisman Trophy winners. That could have been his coach. He's coming here, and Harburg's thing was not that's you know that's threatening to me and my and because I finished the year, I started all you know all of the wins last year. And that should, you know, maybe that can be a threatening thing. Hey, they're bringing somebody in because I'm not good enough. No, he's like, no, this means we are better because of him coming here. And that's, he's just a team first guy. And I love it. Andy, come on, dude. Minnie, it's a, if you're talking about the story, I'm sorry. That's a great story. Don't let Todd get you down with that one. And she says, yes, HH is awesome. And we know that, well, anyway, probably about time to wrap it up. I usually like to fit it into the 30 to 40 minute mark. We had 2 weekends to talk about, and we'd go over a little. So that's probably time for you to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting about that time.
Yes, it is.
That's it for this week. We'll definitely be back next week. We'll probably have a weekly segment where Miley makes fun of me for taking so long to finally get Wi-Fi. Well,
can we make that one? That'd be great.
No, we're not going to have a whole show on that.
No, not a show, a segment.
A segment. Well, we're not going to do that either. And remember, as always, if rum can't fix it, you're not using enough rum. I'm trying to decide if I need to fix it or if it's just time for me to go to bed and
it's
wake
time
up.
To go to bed.
Yeah. Well, not to go to bed, but at least watch a movie or something. Quick show review before we go. Very quick. Watch Obliterated. Obliterated on Netflix. It is, you know, they always say, oh my God, gratuitous violence. This has got gratuitous violence, gratuitous sex, gratuitous drugs, drug use, gratuitous drinking. It's about an NSA squad that the first like 5-10 minutes of the show saves Las Vegas by killing a bunch of Russians who are going to sell a dirty bomb to somebody who's going to blow up Vegas. That's the opening plot. They begin to party down, just taking everything under the sun, and then find out that wasn't the real bomb. Guys, are you good to go back in the field? So, eight episodes on Netflix. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not getting any money from Netflix. Miley, anything before we go?
I don't think so.
We got it all covered?
Yep.
See you next Tuesday?
Yep.
All right. Everybody who tuned in, thanks to, hey, love you to our commenters tonight. Minnie Highlander, Noah Hogan, hope you made it in. He looked like he was going to be running a little late. Thanks very much. Thanks to everybody watching. Tell your friends. Tell the millions and millions of those softball fans out there to join us. We'll have some more fun next week. Miley, pleasure as always.
Yep.
And we'll see y'all next week. Go Big Red. Miley, can I get Go Big Red?
GBR.
That'll do. Night, everybody.